the thought of Rabbi Dr. Lamb, who passed away just a few days ago. And so it's kind of led me to revisit some of his writings and some of his teachings. And so I want to actually continue with that again today. And I just think another aspect of life, it's amazing what he can glean from, you know, quote unquote, a boring parsha. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. And you see him and sacrifices and more counting. Yeah, a few maybe, you know, shall we say random halachos. But, you know, it's not like Avraham, Yitzhak, or Yaakov. You know, it's not like, you know, there's chet to egel. It's more, shall we say, boring nonetheless. He's able to glean. He's able to glean really so much. So that's what I want to share with you. It was something that he actually wrote about in 1959. So a very, very long time ago. Even with my gray beard, I was not even a fleeting thought in the life of my parents at that time. Although my children like to joke that I'm, you know, older than I appear, because they can sometimes be cruel. I mean, funny. Nonetheless, it is worthwhile, I think, reading and learning and understanding what Rabbi Lamb wrote about 1959. It's so applicable today. It's actually quite remarkable. We know that there's a famous bracha. This is bracha that every parent gives their child traditionally on Friday night. It emanates, really stems from probably Yom Kippur, and definitely was the bracha, that what's known as Birkas Kohanim, that the Kohanim are supposed to bless the people, and ends with the bracha of Shalom. Maybe perhaps I was thinking to analyze the bracha itself and try to really glean something else from it. That might be tomorrow's topic. But nonetheless, the bracha ends and concludes with Birkas Shalom. And we know that the same Lecha Shalom, how important those words are. And in fact, the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah ends with Hashem Oz Lamo Yitain, Hashem Yivarech Esamo V'Shalom. That Mishnah says specifically that Rabbi Anasi wanted to end with the idea of Shalom. And he, a kli machzik shalom, that really the Torah is a kli machzik shalom, that Torah is really all about peace. And therefore, it's the greatest bracha, it's the greatest vessel, it's one of the three pillars, right? Oshlosha dvarim olam omed, one of them, of course, is shalom, so it's found in Berkei Avos, it's the end of Birkas Kohanim, it's found at the end of Shas, it is, of course, the last bracha of the Amida that we say, it's an amazing thing that so many things that we recite, whether it's Shas, whether it's Birkas Kohanim, which connects to the sixth parsha, or the Amida, Shmoneh Esrei, Tefillah, all end with this idea of Shalom. And the question is, what really does Shalom mean? If it's such a high value, if it's truly something that the Nevi'im really spoke about, prophesied about, these incredible visions of Shalom and of peace, you know, and if you take a look in the world that we live in today, everyone talks about peace, whether it's, you know, in the Middle East, whether it's in the world today, peace, peace, peace. We need peace, brother. We need to be more peaceful, right? And when, you know, you have your diplomats and they have these peace meetings or these government officials, What exactly do they mean? Is it the same as what the Torah or Chazal understood, what peace is all about? What really is this notion of peace? And how come, especially in the world of politics, why is it that this noble idea of peace seems to be almost a farce? It seems to be something which you talk about it, but it's almost like it's lip service, you know? And it doesn't actually really often materialize into anything, right? Why is that? And so Rabbi Lamb wants to, in fact, argue that one of the reasons is because the concept of peace in the more secular world is missing something very important and very integral that is a fundamental to the Torah, to Judaism's understanding of peace. That really, in the world out there, the definition of peace is just an absence of war, meaning it's much more about the physical and military conditions that often exists between, you know, people or countries or states. And there's, you know, A versus B, and that's it. And it's just, you know, if A doesn't attack B, B doesn't attack A, there's peace. It's like a peace treaty that sometimes Israel has with Jordan and Egypt. There's a peace treaty. Therefore, we're in a state of peace. But that's not shalom, right? It's almost like it's very technical. It's, oh, I won't punch you in the face. You're not going to punch me in the face. And therefore, we're at peace with each other. Now we're going to sign some document, shake hands, and win maybe even an award on the White House lawn, right? That, my friends, is not the Torah's understanding of what real peace is. And this Jewish definition of peace is very, very different. Shalom is much more of this positive idea, of this real notion, of this inner state. Is this really this much more than it is an external situation, right? It has a reality on its own. It's the word shalom has in it an essence to it, right? It's not just like a social camaraderie or between two people. The Ger Rebbe, in fact, the great Ger Rebbe, said that, you know, shalom, peace, this idea of shalom and this idea of peace is something which people yearn towards. And you can actually see it in the final bracha of Birkas Kohanim. What's the language in Birkas Kohanim? So it's Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom. So may the Lord turn his countenance, right? His countenance to you and give you peace. Panav, explains the Ger Rebbe in his commentary on Chumash, known as the Sfat Emet, the Sfas Emes. He says, doesn't just mean and come from the word panim, which means face or countenance, but it's also referring to the worth and value of somebody, meaning the person's panim, right? The innerness of a person, the value of a person, the worth of a person. That the notion of panav is not just about, says the Ger Rebbe, a technical face or countenance, but is also about panim, or shall we say those terms are connected, because a person's face reflects their inner being. And therefore, explains the Sfas Emes, if you really want to have peace, you need to have panimius. It has to be much more than just a superficial lack of fighting and not arguing, but rather it has to come from something of depth and something really from the deep confines of a human being's psyche and understanding, right? You know, this idea of like shalom bayit, for example, right? It's not like, oh, we don't fight. Oh, we don't fight, so shalom bayit. Because we don't scream at each other, because I'm not throwing a plate at my spouse, because I'm not, you know, slamming the door, that means there's peace. I mean, that's absurd, right? Just think about that. Shalom bayit means real harmony. What's real harmony? That there's this depth of understanding, the core of two individuals. Where two individuals who have this sense of shalom bayit, it's because they truly are connecting on a much, much deeper level. And if you really want to have the shalom in the outer world, you need to be able to forge it in this inner world, in the pnim, in the depth of a human being. I think this is so, so insightful. And so when people speak about, you know, shalom, peace, about treaties and conferences and power, all those things, you're not going to have a real peace. It's not going to be a lasting peace. It's going to be a facade. But shalom is understood by Chazal, understood by the Torah, understood by the rabbis in Jewish thought. It's, we talk about kli machzik bracha. If you really want a vessel that holds a blessing, if you really want change, if you really want a blessing, you need to have this very inner peace. It has a very spiritual quality to it. And again, it's not lip service. It's something which truly has depth to it. And I think this is such an important idea. And this is that Rabbi Lam spoke about back in 1959. Right? If you want to, you know, let's say even Vavtarecha Kamocha. So how do you do that, right? Well, in order to be able to love your neighbor like yourself, it has to be based on actively seeking shalom as a goal, right? It has to be something, you know, based on the name of Hashem, right? Hashem is Shalom, right? One of the Shemos of Hashem is often akin to Hashem is Shalom. Why? Because that type of peace, that spiritual harmony, in order to have that real, real depth of connecting to someone, that real sense of peace, the real sense of Shalom, it has to come from a religious component. Yisa Hashem panav elecha, v'yasem lecha shalom. That you need to have a religious component to it in order to have true Shalom. And be able to see that person, the other person across the table from you, the other person that you share your house with, the other person that you work with, your friends, you have to truly see them as something divine. Their pnimius, their inner sense, has something divine, a spark of godliness to it. And Rav Kook, who was known, Rav Kook, Zechut Tzadik Yivracha, spoke about, weeks ago, I think it was right after Pesach, actually, we spoke about the Siddur of Rav Kook, that I used a little bit over Pesach, so I was inspired by his thought. Rav Kook, who is known to be a really, really, really a person of tremendous peace, really looking for Shalom in everything that he did, he understands that the religious root of Shalom, right, of this notion of Shalom really comes from a well-known Mishnah. And what is this Mishnah? It's a Mishnah that's in Peah, Meseches Peah, that we recite every single morning. Havat Shalom bein Adam lechaveru. That, notice the language here, by the way. Lehavi, to bring peace, right? You can't make peace, right? Making peace is like political. You have to bring peace, right? You have to be able to truly, you know, it's something which has to be almost delivered. It has to be something that has to be brought to someone else, right? That's what really, that is what the notion of true Shalom. And Rav Kook explains that peace between a person, a man and his fellow man, is an incredible, incredible virtue, right? And if you do it, says the Mishnah, Adam ochal paroseihem bolom hazeh v'kerna kemes olam haba, that a person will enjoy the fruits of the zechuyos, of their merits and their deeds in this world. Of course, the primary principle is going to be in the world after. And Rav Kook really understands this Mishnah and these words to mean that Shalom is a blessing whose peros, whose fruits a person enjoys in his life, and of course, the life of the entire world, the world of Olam Haba. That when will you enjoy and appreciate those roots? When will you appreciate the real bracha, the real blessing of peace? That if the entire time you recognize and you acknowledge that the keren, that the root and source of the shalom is Olam Haba, in the realm of the divine. You have to really believe in this Mishnah, says Rav Kook, that what you are truly doing, yes, there's benefit now, but there's benefit in the world to come, which is a religious hashkafa, a religious understanding that there is this appreciation of what true peace can yield. And without this religious approach, peace is elusive. You're going to be running and chasing after your tail and never being able to grasp it. Without the Torah, right, it's just a mirage. That God is truly what gives life to peace. And without God, without Hashem Baruch Hu, peace is almost a ghost, right? You have, it's a no chance of truly attaining it. And unless people realize that, and this is as we hear from the Nevi'im, right? As you hear from the prophets, from Yeshayahu, and they talk about the famous line, right? You're going to beat their swords into plowshares, right? And their spears into the pruning forks, I think is what the English translation is, right? That you're going to be limited truly in your ability to pursue proper peace. And only the Oseh Shalom Bimromav, only God who created this universe and established its natural harmony, who Yaseh Shalom Aleinu, only through him can true and everlasting peace truly come to us. And, how do we then, if we want to kind of demonstrate this true type of peace, what can we do? How are we supposed to understand it and look at it? So I think, The first thing is what actually we do. And it's very interesting. When we finish saying the Amida, the Shemoneh Esrei, our davening and our prayer, of course, it's the bracha of peace. And what do? Oseh shalom bimromav, we say with these words. We bend our head and we take three steps back. Sometimes we have to bend our head. Sometimes we have to acknowledge that we are not always right. We are not always correct. We are willing to take a couple of steps back. We are willing to make space for the other person. That will assist us in truly attaining peace. That's how we do it, perhaps physically. We physically say, Oseh shalom bimromav. That is what we do. That is this, you know, and that's perhaps the first stage, the first process of what we can do. But we don't do it from the sense, you know, some people think, okay, to attain peace, we both have to lose. You know, it's what's called the zero-sum game. No, it's not true. If you really want to have true shalom and true peace, you both actually gain. Everyone has what to benefit from. If you truly understand this notion of peace. And therefore, Rabbi Lam explains that the basis for peace is actually emuna, that truly having this belief and loyalty in Hashem Baruch Hu and belief and loyalty in oneself and others is the source of how you can attain peace. That's how you can attain domestic peace between husband and wife, right? It's not about, oh, you know, you go for, now that you don't throw plates at each other, now you have peace. No, if you truly see in other people, you have a spark of Hashem Baruch Hu, there's a sense of divinity, that each person, you can actually learn so much from somebody else. You can actually gain and become better from other people, learn from things. You don't just know everything. Don't just think that you're always right. But you're able to truly see a sense of ruchni, spirituality in other people, that leads you to taking your three steps back. You're not taking your three steps back because there's a sword attacking, you're trying to get out of the way and duck out of the way. That's not why you're taking three steps back. You're taking three steps back to allow others, to allow yourself that extra space when you truly have this idea of mutual commitment to the values of the Torah. And that's what I think Rabbi Lam, in the speech that he gave in 1959, truly was highlighting. And, you know, if you're able to make the space for somebody else, you know, you have to sometimes even give up on your dream a little bit for the sake of someone else's dream, right? Sometimes you do have to do those things. But that actually, the gain, in fact, could be much, much greater. So those were the ideas that, you know, Rabbi Lam, I think, wanted to convey. And why it is, and this to me is such a powerful statement, and why it's often so elusive, and why everyone seems to be running around trying to attain something and having a difficulty trying to actually attain it. And listen, there's no question it is easier said than done. And I think it requires tremendous religious fortitude and a sense of understanding oneself, understanding God, and understanding and appreciating the other. And I think that really is ultimately the real notion of shalom and the real notion of peace. And so this idea of shalom that we end, and this is an amazing thing, we end Shisha Sidra Mishnah with peace, we end our Shemoneh Esrei with peace, the bracha that a Kohen gives is about peace. In fact, we know if there's the Kohen has an enemy, if there's a sense of hatred, he's not allowed to give a bracha. It has to be done be'ava, it has to be done with peace. And I think those are very, very powerful statements to make. And it's really, however, it is peace in the home. That is where the world peace, though, is going to begin. Sometimes people think, you know, let's just have peace out there in the world and then everything will be okay. It actually really begins in one's home, in one's, you know, in one's backyard, in one's own province. Sometimes to make peace out there in the world, sometimes a bit grandiose. Sometimes you have to look first in your own home, in your own backyard, truly, before you're able to expand it anywhere else in the world. And so, my friends, I want to give everybody a bracha that we should truly be able to attain this sense of peace. And in many ways, if you want to have peace, you need to have a sense of identity. You have to know who you are, comfortable with who you are, and that will allow you, I think, to be able to reach other people. that we allow you to see others as valuable, as majestic, as have a sense of kedusha in others. If you don't know who you are, if you're not at peace with yourself, if you don't have a sense of identity and you're just a nobody, I'm a no one, it is very difficult to have a sense of world peace or peace with anybody. And so, and you know, in many ways, it actually begins with you, with me. It begins with me. That first I have to be comfortable with who I am, appreciate who I am, have the sense of almost self-identity before I can truly have shalom with other peace. And so, you know, God willing, we will have this sense of peace, physical peace, spiritual peace, of course, based on this idea of religious peace. And so, in Mirza Hashem, we will get there very, very soon. And we truly will be able to, Hashem will be Hamavarech Esamoy Yisrael Bashalom. God will truly bless his people with peace. Hashem will bless the entire world with peace and give us the strength and conviction. Hashem Oz Lamo Yitain. Hashem Yivarech Esamoy Yisrael. We need Oz. We need strength. We need that fortitude in order to get there, in order to do what's right, in order to enhance ourselves, our families, and society in general. Wonderful day, everybody. Great to see you all. And God willing, it should also be a Refuah Shleimah to those who dedicated this year to, and Refuah Shleimah to truly the entire world as well. See you, God willing, again in 24 hours minus 30 minutes. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.